All right. We're moving on up. Genesis 2. Moving on up to a deluxe apartment in the sky. Oh yeah, we're moving on up. Oops, sorry. Sometimes you hear that song and sticks in your head for a while. Even though I haven't heard it in probably 20 years. All right, Genesis 2. We found out what happened in Genesis 1. And Genesis 1 is a big picture of what God did in his formation of everything in 6 days and resting on the seventh. Now it's going to get broken down a little bit. It's going to get broken down a little bit in Genesis 2. It's going to get broken down. All right, let's go. Genesis 2. Lord, open our eyes to your words of knowledge and truth. Give us wisdom, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. All right. So he's starting off saying what was said in chapter one. What world am I talking about? Then we're off to a bad start. I can't even remember what a verse or a chapter is. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. God created heaven, the earth, stars, everything, and all the host of them, everything that is in creation. Along with that. For in the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and the seventh day he rested from all his work which he had made. Now whether God really had to rest, I kind of doubt it. I don't think God actually rests. I don't think he needs to rest. But that's what it says he did. Stopped would probably be a, he stopped from all his work which he had made. Realize how powerful God is. Did you ever look up in the sky, the vast universe that God made? I think he has to rest. No, you don't have to rest. He can. His power goes beyond what any man could ever put into his imagination, in this little mind that we have, this little brain that we have. Verse 3, so God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work which God had created and made. So now God created in six very real days, not 6,000 years, not 6 million years, not 6 billion years, six literal days. God created everything that you see. And when he was done with that, he stopped, he rested, and he made the seventh day a blessed day and sanctified. I mean, it's something that we are to observe, look at, wow, look what God did in 6 days. And so on the seventh day, like we're supposed to observe God, remember God. Nowadays it's Sunday. That the Roman Catholics started that bull crap. What it used to be on Saturday was the Sabbath. And it still is. It still is. Whether a Christian should observe that or not, you'll have to make your own decision. It's in the Ten Commandments, which is not just for Jews. It's for everybody, the Ten Commandments. You're not supposed to kill. You're not supposed to lie and cheat and deceive people. So, yeah, through the Roman Catholic B system, they had to change the actual day. And I can't remember what year that was. Was it like 600 AD or something like that? Look it up when Sunday became about. Sunday. Did you know what Sunday is? Sun, S-U-N-D-A-Y. Did you know that the Catholics and all these pagan religions that follow Baal, Satan, that they all follow Sunday? They worship the sun. Look for the obelisk over there by the Vatican in their courtyard. The sundial. Look for it in Washington, D.C., that big Washington Monument. They're everywhere. Look for anybody that was ever involved in that B system, like Rockefeller. Look for his obelisk. I think it's the biggest graveyard obelisk ever made. I think. Look at it, how tall and big it is. Where he was buried in Cleveland. Can't think of the name of the cemetery. But I saw it with my own eyes. I visited it. That's one of their things that you can know what they are, that obelisk. Look for it. Look for the sign of the sun everywhere you look. Look for it in all their logos. Look for it in their everything. It goes hand in hand with their 666 hand sign. They got all kinds of goodies that they have kept secret. But in these last days, men's eyes are being opened to their deceitfulness. All right, I'm going off tangents. Where was I? So God bless the seventh day and sanctify it, because that enemy had rested from all his work, which God hath created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth, when they were created in the day of the Lord, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. This is the description of what God did. That's what it's saying. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, neither was there a man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered all the earth. Mist. Did you ever get up early in the morning? And early when the sun's just starting to come up. Did you ever notice that big mist that's covering everything? That's what that's talking about. No, you can't cut the grass early in the morning because the whole yard is covered with a mist, and grass has gotten wet over the nighttime. That's what that is, same thing. Maybe on a bigger scale, I don't know. But probably was on a bigger scale. But that's what it's talking about. Verse 7, the Lord God also made the man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his face breath of life, and the man was a living soul. So boom, just like that, God did what he did. That easy. That easy. That's how powerful God is, that he could just, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this dirt, and recreate it into a living, breathing man. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? I think that's awesome, because I believe that and I know that. How powerful our physical bodies are, and all the things that we have in this body, the heart and the lungs and the spleen and the liver and the kidneys and the muscles and everything. How God just like, boom, here it is, and this thing's going to be able to walk and talk and look at how wonderfully we are made. That's all I can say. If you don't understand it or believe that and think that came out of a blob of goo and then turned into a monkey and you're a monkey man, go ahead and think you're a monkey man. Go ahead and believe that bull crap. That's what you want to do. That's what Satan wants you to believe. He wants you to believe you're a monkey man. Monkey man. You evolved. There's no evolving with God. He just clicks his fingers together, and it's made perfect. All right. Where was I? Verse 7, Lord God made the man of the dust of the ground, breathe in his face breath of life, and the man was a living soul. And Lord God planted the garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had made. For out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree pleasant to the sight and good for meat. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, that is very important. I'm going to read that one more time. For out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree pleasant to the sight and good for meat. So he made trees, fruit trees, to eat. Then stops. And then it says, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What were those two trees? Now we're going into symbolism. Symbolism. You know what those two trees were? Jesus and Satan. Satan. The devil. The serpent. The deceiver. The angel of God that got cast down from heaven. He was the second tree. And out of Eden went a river to water the garden, and from thence it was divided and became into four heads. The name of one is Pishon, the same compass, the whole land of Havilah, where is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same compass the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hittical. This goes toward the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is Pereth. And if I said any of those names wrong, too bad. Too bad. I don't care. They're weird names. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden that he might dress it up and keep it. So he took Adam, brought him to the garden, says, here, take care of it. Take care of this garden. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, thou shalt eat freely of every tree of the garden. Every tree of the garden. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou dost eat thereof, thou shalt die the death. Well, why would God put a tree that looked like other trees, which it wasn't, why would he put that there? And say that you could eat all these other fruits that they're growing in these trees, but, you know, this is another tree that's got fruit hanging on it, and don't eat it, because if you do, you'll die. Well, it had nothing to do with the fruit. The fruit. Like the other trees, because these were different trees. They weren't even trees. They were symbolic. Symbolic. And you'll notice, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it, but for in the day thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt die the death. Well, guess what? Adam and Eve did eventually eat from that tree. Tree, not a tree, it's Satan. They ate from Satan. And they didn't die, did they? Or did they? Did they die physically? No. But you know what they died? Spiritually. 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 That's what that was all about. That's what the fall of man is. From Adam and Eve. A spiritual death. Spiritual death. Alright, 18. Also the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be himself alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. So the Lord God formed of the earth every beast of the field and every fowl of the heaven and brought them unto the man to see how he would call them. For Also over the man named the living creature, so it was the name thereof. Now, do you know and understand that at one time that man and the animals that God created, they had the perfect union and actually communicated with each other? Can you imagine having a lion, a full-grown lion, come up to you and you'd be able to swat him on the butt and run from him? And all it would do is say, hey, what's the matter with you, dum-dum? Yeah, that's how it was at one time. All the way up until the flood, actually. How do you think Noah got all those animals on the ark without eating each other and going after each other? That didn't happen until after the ark rested. And then God put the fear of in the animals. And they went from being eating just the greens of the earth to eating each other. Uh-oh, I got some sodomites excited by saying that. So there you go. How cool it would have been to just be friends with an elephant. Say, hey, I'm going to jump on your back and ride you for a while. Or a giraffe. Giraffe going up to it and jumping on its back. That would have been so cool. And you know what? It's going to be like that again after this new heaven and earth come into place. Did you know that? It's going to be just like it was in the Garden of Eden. That's what the Bible says. Look it up. The man therefore gave names unto all cattle and to the fowl of the heaven and to every beast of the field. So here Adam's got all these friends, all these different animal friends, dogs, cats, mice, rats, pigs. Every animal you can imagine, they're all his buddies. But for Adam, found he not a help meet for him. Wasn't enough to have all these animals that are totally different than you. You should have somebody like yourself. That's why people buy one dog and they usually get two dogs, because they knew that two dogs probably are better off in life together than just being by themselves. Or cats, people start out with one cat, next thing you know they got 128 of them. Cat lady. I remember the cat lady when I was a kid. Her house burned down. And I remember just, I don't know how many cats they found for days and days and days after that. The cat lady. You've heard of the cat lady. Everybody's heard of the cat lady living in their neighborhood somewhere along the line. They usually find them because the house stinks. Stinks so bad that they have to go in and get all the cats up and destroy the house. Anyway, where was I? Oh, Adam found he not a help meet for him. Oh. Therefore the Lord caused a heavy sleep to fall upon the man. God's going to do surgery on Adam. Put him to sleep. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now why? Why, if he created man from dust, why did he have to take part of Adam to create Eve? Why couldn't he have started from scratch again with this dust? We're going to find that out in a second. And the rib, which he had taken from man, made a woman, brought her to the man. Then, so here he is, Adam wakes up. First thing he does, now they're both naked. First thing he doesn't do is go, oh man. I just hit the lottery, baby. Look at those. Woo! Woo! I'm going to get me some of that. No, he didn't say that. He doesn't say that because you know what? He's still pure of mind. He's still in the image of God and pureness and holiness. All he's looking at is his helper, his opposite of him, but the same as him. You know, a man and a woman are totally different. For some reason or another now, I don't know why. Well, I do know because of sin. Satan's deceitfulness. You can't even get somebody to say what a man or a woman is anymore. Crazy. You can't tell what a man and a woman is. That's because there's freaks in the world now. So many freaks, they don't know what they are. Because Satan has got into their minds so much that they don't know what they are or what they want to be. All they want to know is they want to be Satan's creation. So that's what they become. Well, I could walk up to any man or woman and instantly tell the difference between the two. If you can't, then there's something wrong with your brain. And you've been bought out by the beast system. All right. Then the man said, "This is now bone of my bones." What did God do? He took Adam's rib and recreated a woman with it. "And flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Therefore, now listen to this, what Adam says. What does Adam say? This is the whole ball and wax and institution of what God created that even a man, the first man, knew. He knew with his own mind. Nobody had to tell him. God didn't have to tell him. He had common sense in his own mind. "Therefore shall man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." God instituted and created marriage between a man and a woman. And when you marry one another, you become one flesh. One flesh, because you are one flesh. Do you understand that? The first time you have marital relations with your spouse, the two of you become one. You're intertwined, interlocked now. People don't know that. They don't understand that. They just give away their bodies like they're candy now to multiple people. Sickness of the internet isn't anything more than what Satan has created with pornography, all its evils. And people have no problem with going with not 1, 2, 10, 20, 30, 50, 100, 1,000 videos they'll make of different partners. Think nothing of it. Nothing of the marriage and that sexual relations are supposed to be between a man and a woman. For love, that connection, it's not about love, it's about lust. Lust. You know the difference between love and lust? Love and lust? Hopefully you do. Love is forever. Lust is getting off. Getting off. That's all it is. Going to your next person, partner, whatever. And hopefully not getting them pregnant. Because if you do, then you'll just stand in line and get another abortion, I guess. Kill another human being. Think nothing of it. All right. Yeah, well, that was an easy chapter, so I'm going to end that now. And, did I say 25? And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Why should you be ashamed of being naked? Unless you're sinning. Then you should be ashamed. You should be ashamed if you're on the internet having sex with another person. That should be shame to you. And then if you go into Mosaic Law, you'll see what nakedness, look it up, the nakedness of the shame of that. Now you shall look upon your mother. You know, look all those things that Mosaic Law tells about that. And you don't even need that. If you have a conscience in your brain, the ability to think, you know in your brain already what sin is. Or at least you did at one time. Maybe you don't anymore. Because you can burn that out. You can burn your conscience out so much that you don't even know what sin is anymore. And I've been down that path. I've been down that path with the sexual perversion. I slept with a lot of girls when I was a young buck. I did. And knowingly at first that it was probably not the right thing to do. But I did it anyway. I did it anyway. And the more you do sin, the less it, the sin in your mind just becomes like natural almost. And it's not a good thing. Not a good thing. You don't want to be in that place. You want to be in a place where God speaks to you and tells you, hey, this is why I created you, to live like this and to be like that. So, all right, blew through chapter 2. That was fast and easy. Let's go on to chapter 3 and see what is going to happen. Something very big is going to happen now in chapter 3.